Brenda. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivastadi Gopakta Vrinda Jai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasadi Gobhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Sri Sinatai Gaura Hare Ki, Sri Sinatai Sachi Sutta Ki, Sankirtan Yajya Ki, Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Gaura Premanande, all glorious to the Sama devotees, all glorious to the Sama devotees, all glorious to the Sama devotees, all glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada. This is the same thing that happened last time I was here. It's exactly the same thing, except the rain is coming on me too. So what are we going to do now? Are we going to go inside? Or just go under here? Or what are we going to do? The thing is, it's falling on me too.
It's also...
No, how? So what to do? Should we come inside? I think we have to, yeah. You're getting wet there, isn't it? You must be. Okay, let's move inside.
Om Namo Bhagavate. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Alright, so now what we'll do, we'll read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll read from the 9th canto, chapter 11, Lord Ramachandra Rules the World, text 23. Purusho Ramacharitam Shravanaya Upadarayam Anrishamsya Paro Rajam Karma Bandhaya Vimuchita. Translation. O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. Here in this material world, everyone is envious of someone else. Even in religious life, it is sometimes found that if one devotee has advanced in spiritual activities, other devotees are envious of him. Such envious devotees are not completely freed from the bondage of birth and death. As long as one is not completely free from the cause of birth and death, one cannot enter the Sanatan Dharma or the eternal pastimes of the Lord. One becomes envious because of being influenced by the designations of the body. But the liberated devotee has nothing to do with the body, and therefore he is completely on the transcendental platform. A devotee is never envious of anyone, even his enemy, because the devotee knows that the Lord is his supreme protector. He thinks, what harm can the so-called enemy do? Thus, a devotee is confident about his protection. The Lord says, Yeyatamam Papadyante Tams Tataiva Pajamyaham. According to the proportion of one's surrender unto me, I respond accordingly. A devotee must therefore be completely free from envy, especially of other devotees. To envy other devotees is a great offense, a Vaishnava aparadha. A devotee who constantly engages in hearing and chanting Shravana Kirtana is certainly free from the disease of envy, and thus he becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. That's very nice. Right, Purusho Ramacharitam. Come on. Come on. I hope my shoes are not going to get wet. Alright, Purusho Ramacharitam. Shravanaya Upadarayam. Anrisham Sya Paro Rajan. Karma Bandhaya Vimuchyate. O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. About Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Hastaya Bhutale Samatabhakti Vishnu Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudaram Pachare Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Kastya Rade Kusamade Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Radha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So yesterday was the appearance day of Lord Ramachandra, and some of you were there, right? Were you there?
Yes.
You were there, and you were there, and you were there, and you were there, weren't you? Were you there tomorrow? Oh, you were there. Didn't see you. Sorry. And were you there? You were there. All right. I see. And you were there too. You were there, right? Yes. You were there. Oh, all right. Okay. All right, so we had a nice program there. It was good. And opening the new temple room. Very nice. So here, this verse, this is a very important verse, very nice verse about Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Come in. Supreme Personality of Godhead. God. Huh? God? Come here. Yeah, it's explaining about the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he's so extraordinary, he's so pure, he's so spiritually pure and so exalted, that if we simply hear about him, we become purified ourselves. It's very amazing. Just through that contact, through hearing and chanting about him, hearing his glories, hearing his qualities, hearing his pastimes, these things like this. If we just hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we become purified. So just consider how pure he is. Just consider how pure he is, that if we simply hear about him, we become purified. So he is really most remarkable person. Most remarkable person. So here, particularly in this verse, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, who is Shukadev Goswami, is making a point that the pastimes of Lord Ram, they're really very wonderful, and if we hear nicely about Lord Ram, we hear nicely about the Supreme Lord, then we'll become purified. But particularly, which quality does he mention here? Particular bad quality which will become purified from, what did he say? Envy. And liberated from fruitive activities. But the particular personal quality was envy. At least this is what is being focused on here. Of course, we become purified from everything, but particularly here, Shukadev Goswami has chosen to mention envy. So we all know about envy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody here? Prabhupada actually, what does he say? He says, here in this material world, everyone is envious of someone else. Any of you here never ever felt any envy of anybody else? It's not possible, he says. All right. Well, that's true. That's the thing. I think we all have. Who can say that I never had such a feeling sometime? Actually, it's quite common. I mean, common in that it happens regularly to all of us. But what good does it do us to become envious? Actually, you know, there's a description elsewhere in the Bhagavata, how if one becomes affected by, but if one becomes overcome by these low qualities like envy, greed, anger, lust, all these things which we know about, then they pollute the system, even to the point that the body becomes contaminated. Not just the mind. Certainly we can understand that these things are pollutions of the mind, but actually they're so powerful that they even can contaminate the body, that one actually feels that unpleasant, some like discharge of some adrenaline, something like that, you know, which makes the whole system it runs through the system even physically, what to speak of psychologically. So these are very nasty things, very powerful things, particularly that was said about anger. Yeah, anger pollutes the body. One can actually feel it even physically. So here, envy is being talked about. Envy means that someone has something, we would like it, but we don't have it. And therefore, we think something about that person who has it. That, you know, that person has some nice clothes, but we don't have any clothes for some ordinary cheap clothes, something. So we're looking at this person with the nice clothes, and the mind is saying something unpleasant, and why that person? Why not me? I should have that. Actually, Prabhupada told one little story to illustrate this principle of envy. Prabhupada told the story of two friends who were meeting after, they had been school friends, but they hadn't seen each other for many years. Now they're meeting again for the first time since they're at school. So they're sort of catching up on what's been happening since they were in school. What is this person doing? What is that person doing? And how is this one? And like this. So then one of them said to the other, what about such and such, you know, Joe? What about Joe? Oh, he was such a fool, wasn't he? And the other one says, oh, Joe. Well, you know what? Joe is a high court judge now. And the first one said, what? Joe, a high court judge? He couldn't be a high court judge. He was such a fool. How can he be a high court judge? So the other one says, no, it's true. I was there the other day, and I saw him. I saw him. He is a high court judge. So the first one, he said, no, I don't believe it. He said, well, if he is a high court judge, I bet they're not paying him anything. This is enviousness. Enviousness, a nasty mentality. In Bhagavad Gita, there's one verse. Krishna refers to envy, chapter 9, verse 1. How does that begin? Krishna tells Arjuna that because you are never envious of me, I shall now impart to you the most confidential knowledge. Idam tu te guyatamam. Guyatamam?
Guyatamam.
Guyatamam. Yeah, that's confidential. And what, how does it say it?
Pavakshami anasuyavi.
Pavakshami anasuyavi. Jnanam vijnanam sahitam. Yaj yatva mokshase shubha. Is it? Okay. Right, so Krishna says, because you're never envious of me, I shall now impart to you this most confidential knowledge. What is it? Knowing which you'll become freed from the miseries of material existence. Right. So now, that's very interesting, and in his purport to that verse, one of our great acharyas, Baladev Vijayabhushan, who lived maybe 400 years ago or 350 years ago, Baladev Vijayabhushan made a very interesting comment that he gave a definition of envy. Envy, he said, envy means you look at a person and you search to find fault, even in the midst of many good qualities. That person may have many nice things, but you don't care about that. You search to try to find something, and then you find something, and then you think, aha, now I understand. Now I know what this person is like. But actually you have to search to find that. Yeah. So this is envy. This is a definition given by Baladev Vijayabhushan. That one is inclined like that. One is looking for that. Just like Prabhupada said, that there are flies and there are bees. Honeybees. The honeybee is attracted to the honey, to the nectar. And even if there's, you know, all sorts of different things available, the honeybee will go for the sweet nectar. And that the fly, even if there are many things available, including some sweet honey, sweet nectar, something like that, but the fly will go to some dirty place and just get in there and just get really into that. He's attracted. Actually, you know, I had this experience, I don't know if you had such an experience, but when I first went to India, it was 1976, and so there we were, and you know, the conditions in those days, you know, it's almost 30 years ago. The conditions in those days were much worse than they are now. And really much, much worse, much dirtier, and it was very difficult. And believe it or not, the flies were bigger. And the mosquitoes, boy, you wouldn't believe. you just wouldn't believe. You had to see it to believe it. But anyway, you get some cut, immediately it goes poisonous. Every time. Just a most extraordinary experience. And, and you get these mosquito bites. Every one turns into a little bang. So you just go like that. Fly goes away, bang. Away, bang. And before you know, there's no scab. He eats it. Again, shouldn't it? Those are the point about flies. That's what they like. They like it. They love it. Can you imagine what sort of mentality or what sort of, you know, senses you'd have to have to be attracted to that? You like it. You want it. But actually it's something very dirty and, you know, diseased, actually. Very unpleasant. But they're attractive. So this type of mentality, this is, Prabhupada talked about this, the flies and the bees, or the fly-like people and the bee-like people, the people who are attracted to the dirt and the people who are attracted to the nice things. And that's just the way they are. They really like that. So, yeah. Like in India also, they have the famous pigs. Here, of course, we have pigs, but you don't have them walking in the street. But they, you know, there's so many, walking in the street. And they're like flies, big flies. They love dirty things, my God. It is unreal. Some of the sights are telling. It is just out of this world. So Prabhupada said that with a pig, one of these street pigs, you could offer him either a plate of stool or a plate of, you know, like the birthday cake we saw. What will he choose? Anyway, just, yeah, okay. You got it right. So, this is a disease, this is a particular condition that people become of the nature, they become possessed by the nature of envy. They become possessed by the nature of lust. They become possessed by the nature of greed. They become possessed by these things. And it is actually a type of pollution. It's a type of contamination. And the result of it is that they become degraded. They become unhappy. And they make other people unhappy and degrade other people. So these qualities then, these low qualities, they're very dangerous and very unpleasant. And if we're to advance, if we're to develop spiritually, if we're to develop spiritually, and even if we're just to be happy in any terms, even in just ordinary, everyday terms, if we're to be happy, then we have to become free from these things. We have to become free from these things. Again, another quality, lust. Everybody knows about lust. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also talks about lust. Jayato Vishayam Pumsa Sangasteshu Vajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kamat Krodo Vajayate. Krishna says that while contemplating the objects of the senses, looking around, checking it out. You know, what looks good to me? What do I want? What do I want to get my hands on and enjoy? So Krishna says, while contemplating the objects of the senses, one becomes attached to them. In other words, one becomes fixed on one. One's looking around this and this and this and so many different things. Then suddenly, eventually, one decides, right, I want this one. I want this one. One becomes attached. From that attachment, Krishna says, lust develops. That overpowering desire to enjoy that one that you decided on, that you became attached to. So lust develops, and then you try to enjoy it, actually. And then from lust, what is the next stage? You are contemplating, then you became attached, then you became lusty, and then from the lust comes happiness. No, not happiness. Anger. That's what Krishna says. Kamat krodho vijayate. Kamat means lust. Krodho means anger. From lust comes anger. But most people, what do they think? They think that from lust, happiness comes. Yes. That we, you know, we get that thing we want. Now we can just use it and enjoy it and use it as we want, and the end result will be happiness. But actually it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Krishna says from lust anger arises. Now why is that? Why anger? Well, it's quite simple if you understand from the spiritual point of view, that we are spiritual living entities. We have spiritual needs. But we are living in the material world. It is not the spiritual world. It is the material world. But we are spiritual. So we are something different. Now we who are spiritual are trying to enjoy something which is material, then it's just, you know, well, in Sanskrit we call it a rasa-dasa. It's just not a good combination. It's not a good combination. Spiritual and material equals, you know, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Just like, for example, if you have, I don't know if you're aware of this or if you've tried this, you try and mix oil and water. Have you ever tried it? Petrol and water. Try and mix petrol and water, oil and water. And so you put some water in the container, put some oil in, some petrol. And so now there it is. And but what do you find? The petrol, or the oil, comes to the top. And the water is underneath. They're actually separate. They don't really mix. So then maybe what you do, now you shake it up. Or stir it up. Try it like, you know, when you put sugar in water. But then you stir it up, then they merge, basically. They just merge and mix with each other. But now with your oil and water or petrol and water, so now you stir it up. Okay, now you finish stirring, now what happens? The petrol comes to the top and the water goes to the bottom. Yes, it's like that. So we are spiritual by nature. Means we have a higher nature. And then there's the material realm and material things which are made of the material nature which is lower. So, like this, we stay above and the material nature stays below. And even if we really try to get into material life, work hard, really try to enjoy and get absorbed in material life, then just like when you're mixing up the oil and water or petrol and water, you know, it may mix in a little while you're stirring it, but as soon as you stop, the petrol comes to the top. The oil comes to the top and the water goes to the bottom. So we try and get into material life and enjoy material life. And maybe we get a little something out of it. Something you can get out of it. but not very much. And very quickly you find that it's not satisfying. It's not satisfying. We had these big expectations that we were going to really become happy and enjoy, and it's just going to be great. So we really worked hard. We really got into it. And we got a little something, but then we found, no, it's not really so good. It's not really so nice. That's material love. That's material love. So we can see that this lust, for example, it produces, because one becomes frustrated, one is trying to get that happiness, one is not getting that happiness, and therefore one becomes frustrated, or as Krishna says, one becomes angry. From lust comes not happiness, but from lust comes anger. So envy is like that also. Envy is like that. And here, point is being made, that if we hear nicely about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we'll become freed from the disease of envy. So, particularly in the purport, what did Prabhupada say about envy? He applied the understanding in a particular way. Anyone remember? He said you shouldn't be envious of, yes, especially of other devotees. Of course you shouldn't be envious of anyone, but we definitely, as devotees, aspiring devotees, we shouldn't be envious of other devotees. That's very bad, because the other devotees are very dear to Krishna. Any devotee, even some, you know, you might say insignificant or very new devotee, something like that, they may not know so much, they may not be so experienced, and so on, but at least they're trying to do something for Krishna, so we shouldn't be envious of them. Because Krishna, if someone is doing just a little devotional service, then we should understand Krishna is noting that person. Krishna is noting that person. Jiva Goswami puts it very nicely. He says that even though Krishna, he is so great, so vast, so big, he is just like an unlimited ocean. So deep and wide, you can't even say. It's just so vast, unlimited. So even though Krishna is so vast, like an unlimited ocean, but still he appreciates even the smallest drop of service. Even the smallest drop. The example is given of Putana. You heard of Putana? You heard of Putana? You know who Putana is? No? Dina. You heard of Putana? Yes? Okay. So Putana was a really, really, we use this term demon, means she was a woman. She was a really terrible person. She made a living by killing children, by sucking their blood. How's that? Like a female Dracula or something. And yes, she was really just too much. So this was Putana. And she came to do the same, essentially, to do the same thing to Krishna when he was small. So there she was, coming to kill Krishna. And Krishna was just 3 months old. He wasn't even crawling. He was just lying in his cradle. And Putana came and looked over and saw, here's Krishna. I'm going to kill him. And she looked in Krishna's little face. And Krishna, he looked so nice, so sweet, just like the perfect little baby. She looked in his face, and just momentarily, just like that, just for an instant, the thought was there in his mind, what a nice little child, he looks very attractive. What a nice little child. Just momentarily, just like that. And then her real state of mind, that horrible, nasty state of mind that she was going to kill them, that came back. And then all this, you know, this little nice feeling that Krishna looks nice, that was forgotten. It was just gone. And then she tried to kill them. But Krishna killed her. Actually, she had poisoned her breast. And she offered the breast for Krishna to suck the milk from her breast. But the idea was he would suck the poison and die. But he sucked the poison and didn't die because he's God. Then he sucked the milk. And then he sucked her life out. And that was the end of her. Goodbye, Putana. When she died, what happened to Putana? Mm-hmm. You know, a person like that? Well, of course, you know, in Krishna consciousness, we have the laws of karma. And if you do, basically in very simple terms, it means if you do good, you get good. If you do bad, you get bad. Like that. So she was really bad. She was just too bad. But when she died, you know what happened to her? She went to Goloka Vrindavan, to the kingdom of God. And she became a nurse of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, in the kingdom of God. She became a nurse, and she's there. Now how come? How come? She was so bad. Someone who's so bad like that killed so many innocent children. You would expect that their future would be very bad because they're so bad, but not in this case. She went to the kingdom of God. So that is because Krishna is so kind. Krishna is so kind that even though she offered, you could say, a little drop of service, just a little bit of attitude, just a thought, that's all. It was just a nice thought for just a second like that. And then it was gone. And then it was just thinking how to kill him. So that little drop of service, just that thought, was accepted by Krishna. And he said, all right, I'll take you there. And he took her back home, back to Godhead. Back to the spiritual kingdom. Yes. So this is Krishna. He's so wonderful. He's really so wonderful. So if we, in fact, he's so wonderful that, as is stated here, if you simply hear about him nicely, you'll become free from these things. If you simply glorify him nicely, if you simply serve him a little, then he's so kind, his reciprocation is such that he cleanses your heart. He cleanses your heart and you advance. You become free from these things. And gradually you develop love of God. So if he is so pure that simply by thinking about him or hearing about him you become pure, so how pure is he? How pure is he? Prabhupada gives the example that there is the sun up in the sky, and then there is a puddle of dirty water. Now, us, if we come along and we contact the dirty water, say we fall into the water, what happens to us? We become dirty. Now the sun though, the sun, it's way, way up in the sky, but it contacts the water through its rays. It contacts the water. So now, does the sun become contaminated? No. But when it contacts the water, it purifies the water. You've got this dirty water, the sun's rays come down, the water evaporates and goes up, and it comes down as rain, and it's pure. That is the sun. Well, Prabhupada, also another example Father gave was of the sun and a candle. You have a candle. You go outside, and if there's a bit of a wind blowing, you know, your candle, it's just, it goes out just like that. But the sun, it's also like a candle, it's like a big candle. The sun, you may have a hurricane or a tornado or something, but the sun will not be affected in the slightest. So similarly, Krishna, he doesn't become contaminated, like with the example of the sun and the dirty water. He doesn't become contaminated, but he purifies the water, whereas if we have that contact, we become contaminated. So he's so pure. Even though the sun is so far away from that water, still it purifies the water. Yes. So therefore we have to cultivate our Krishna consciousness, God consciousness, hearing and chanting and remembering about Krishna and serving Krishna, and then we'll see, we'll become cleansed from these lower qualities. And as we become cleansed from these things, we become happier. You know, if you're angry, we've all been angry, right? Did you ever feel good after being angry? Mm-hmm. It's just such a disturbance. When you become envious, now you get into some mood about someone. You just don't like them. Did you ever come out of it feeling happy? Mm-hmm. No, you don't. Pride. You got real proud that you're really great. And then someone bursts your bubble, and you realize that you're actually just a bit of a silly fool, really. So after a good dose of pride, did you ever feel happy? It's just an illusion. I'm very great. So in that illusory world, you feel happy. I'm king of Soweto. I'm queen of Meadowlands. Zone, what are we, 7, is it? I'm queen of Meadowlands, zone 7. Look at me, I'm very cool. But it's just an illusory little bubble. And you know these bubbles, these soap bubbles, you know these things, you blow them and the bubbles come out. And look, you may get a big bubble like this and you think, wow, look at my bubble. But you just go like that and there's nothing there. So it's like that. This pride, this lust, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, they're just illusory little bubbles. And we get caught up in it, but then it gets popped, and then we've got nothing. So then we feel frustrated. So let's hear and chant about Krishna and Lord Ram, and we'll become free from these things. And we'll be very happy. Okay, here we got a few questions. Couple of questions. Lust produces envy and anger. So among devotees, when the symptoms of envy are detected, does that mean that the devotee has not acquired love of Godhead? Yes. A short answer. Who wrote this question? Is that you? Anyway, yes. If, you know, the symptoms of real envy are there, then it means, you know, to come to the level of love of God, that's very advanced. But it means you can see they've still got some problems. How can we identify a devotee who's a true lover of Krishna, especially in this age of Kali? You know, Srila Prabhupada was asked this question by John Lennon of the Beatles. And Prabhupada gave a very good answer. Because John Lennon at the time was sort of addicted to drugs. Prabhupada told him, you have to see who is the most addicted to God. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's just Krishna, 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 that's all. Talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, giving Krishna, glorifying Krishna, serving Krishna. Then you know there's love. What causes low qualities in an individual? And how can one overcome these low qualities? Well, I think we talked about overcoming the low qualities. We have to hear about the Lord and serve the Lord and get His mercy like that. What causes the low qualities? What causes the low qualities? Well, you know, the root of it, the root from which all these, you know, like you've got a tree, it's got its root in the ground, but then there's so many branches going all over the place. So the root from which all the branches, you know, this one's lust, that one's anger, there goes envy, then pride is going out this way. The root of it all, from which the low qualities really sprout, is the desire to enjoy independent from Krishna. I want to be the enjoyer, not Krishna. From that comes everything else. So if we take that out, then the whole, just like with a plant, if you pull the roots out, now they're just out. So what happens to all the other branches, so many branches and leaves and fruits and flowers and everything? If the root is pulled out, the whole thing dies. You don't have to cut off every branch, cut off every leaf, cut off every flower. Just pull out the root, the whole thing dies, just like that. So if we remove this propensity to enjoy independently from Krishna, and we replace it with the service mood, the mood of serving Krishna, then goodbye. There goes your lust, there goes your anger, there goes your envy, your greed, your arrogance, your pride, your fear, your illusion, all these things gone, just like that. How does that sound? Is that okay?
Yeah.
It's working?
Yeah.
Alright. Very good. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada King.
Jai.